that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And we see that fulfillment of that prophecy in Matthew chapter 3. While I'm reading here in Matthew 3, why don't you turn to Luke chapter 3? Luke chapter 3. But in Matthew 3, verse 1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he which that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So this is a direct reference. Isaiah prophesied about this, and here's the fulfillment. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and on the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I think it's interesting that that phrase is there every time. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Verse 5, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Sometimes when you find people in the New Testament quoting the Old Testament, they might paraphrase the Old Testament. Or maybe in translating from Greek to English, we get a different wording than when we translate the Old Testament Hebrew into English. And so the same meaning is there, the same truth is there, it's just a slightly different wording after the translation. But I think it's interesting that in Isaiah 40, Matthew 3, and Luke 3, it all says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And verse 6, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. That is the point. That is why the way needs to be prepared. That is what John the Baptist came to do, so that all flesh could see the salvation of God. Of course, we know that not all people heeded John and believed on Christ, but John fulfilled his purpose. He did his job. He came when he was sent. He came and did what he was sent to do. He was faithful to do the job God had called him to do. And this isn't our text, but in our text tonight, we see a similar objective to John's objective, except it's a task that you and I may take up. You and I may be occupied in preparing the way of the Lord in some very tangible and purposeful ways. These things that we'll look at are for our benefit and also very much for the benefit of others. And as our missions conference disappears in the rearview mirror, we need to be captivated with the need of prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's the title. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to prepare the way of the Lord into men's hearts, to prepare the way of the Lord to minister to us, to be ready for you to work and to do what only you can do. Just as road graders prepare the road and make it smooth and make it traversable and make it comfortable for vehicles, so we should prepare the road into our hearts so that God can come in without obstacle and God can move in without stumbling block and handicap, but can just do his work quickly and efficiently and thoroughly. Help us to do our job to prepare the way of the Lord in others' lives, to speak of the Lord, to help them be ready for the Lord to work. I pray that you work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text tonight is found in Psalm 96. If you would turn there, Psalm 96. We're going to read the whole psalm, and we're going to briefly go over this. I want us to praise the Lord tonight. And that is a very important way that we prepare the way of the Lord is by praising him because of the things that it does in our life. Psalm 96, we're going to read all 13 verses. Psalm 96:1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth." And as I considered this psalm, I realized that we could break this into three sections. And that's what we're going to do tonight, to view kind of a three different perspectives and things that the psalmist focuses on. In the first part, we see singing. And that's the first point, sing unto God. It says in verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." A second time, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth." Verse 2, a third time, "Sing unto the Lord." Sing, sing, sing unto the Lord. Not to make us look good, not to lift ourselves up, to make ourselves the focus of attention, but to sing unto God. And this is what we ought to do. This is what God's people ought to do. And we might say, well, what are we to do here? Well, let's break apart this phrase here, sing unto the Lord. Sing, we know what singing is. We lift up our voices. And you might not be able to carry a tune, but you can still sing. And we know what singing, we've been singing in this service. It's a good thing to sing. We have to have a willingness if we're going to sing. It's not singing if you're down in the dumps and, oh, I don't know, I'm just going to kind of mumble the word. No, we have to have a willing attitude. We have to have a spirit that is willing to sing. And God wants us to sing. We know the song. It's been sung here before. God wants to hear you sing. God wants to see us lift our voices in praise to him, to sing from our heart. And it doesn't matter how we feel. It matters what we have to sing about. Sing unto the Lord. Sing about what he's done. Let's sing. And it says, of course it says, sing unto the Lord, because he's always listening. That's a blessing to me. He always wants to hear us. Sometimes parents can get weary with the constant sound coming from the mouths of their children. Talking, singing, questioning, complaining, crying, wailing, playing, screaming in play, or in distress. It can be wearisome in your ears. Maybe this might happen. Your ears kind of shut down sometimes, and you don't hear anymore. God's not like that. He's always listening. He always wants to hear us. When we go to him, he's able to help us. You know, it's frustrating to any of you, any of us who care about others, if you're in a position to help somebody and they never come for help. That's hard. That hurts. That's frustrating. Because you want to help, but they never came. And you can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped, who doesn't desire to be helped. And the Lord wants us to come to him because he always wants to help us. He always can help. He's always listening. He always understands. I'm thankful for that. He's always pleased with our praise. Doesn't matter how you sound. Doesn't matter how frail and imperfect your praise seems to be. Sometimes it's all you can do to sing. I feel like I'm doing such a poor job of it. I don't have a heart of praise. It feels like lip service, but I'm going to try. He's always pleased with our praise. Psalm 147:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." It looks good. Sounds good. The Lord always wants to hear it. Sing unto the Lord. He is a willing audience. He is always listening. He is always pleased. But we sing unto the Lord. In verse 1 it says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." And I thought that was interesting. I looked at that word new, and it means fresh. A fresh song. We're not singing to the Lord about something new that he did that he's never done before. You know, he turned over a new leaf. He did something unexpected and totally out of character for him, and we're going to praise him for this. It's brand new. No, it's a fresh song. It's because this is what he's always been, but I see it in a fresh way. This just, it helps me in a new and fresh way today, and I'm going to praise him. We can't praise him that way if we're not walking with him every day. You can't praise him in a fresh way if all you have to praise him about was that one thing he did for you 15 years ago. That's not a new song. We ought to praise him for all that he's done. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But this is specifically talking about a new song. What has he done for you today? Is there something that God did in your life very specifically for you today? Well, you know, I'm not sure. It ought to be true of us. That's what a walk with God is. God did something for me today, and I can sing and praise him about that. You know, so often, this has happened so many times where I'm reading my Bible and I see something and I'm excited. Look at this. Look what God showed me. And then I start to think about it, and I think about it maybe how my wife might be hearing it as I'm telling her about it, or maybe a friend. And I think, well, I mean, I guess it's like the same truth that we already do, right? God is good, or whatever it is. But it's fresh to me because God showed it to me. It's exciting. It's fresh. It's energizing because God showed it to me just right now. Let's sing a new song. This is a fresh glimpse of his goodness. Lamentations 3:22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions failed not. They've never quit. They've never failed. They've never been destroyed or died away. They've been constant. But they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. When we're walking with the Lord, his compassions, yeah, they're the same old compassions they've always been. Yeah, because he's the same God he's always been. But you know what? They are new every morning. They are fresh. They are energizing. They are exciting. And if we don't have a new song to sing to him, we need to re-examine our spiritual life. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. The word bless, we use the word bless maybe in several different ways. I think most often we use the word bless as a gift. God blessed me with this car. God blessed me with this job. It's a gift from God. And we think about how can I bless God's name? And that's not really what the word bless in this context means. It means to pronounce a wish of happiness to one, to express a wish or desire of happiness, also to praise, to glorify for benefits received. And you think about Jacob blessing his sons, Isaac blessing Esau and Jacob, and they say, God, Father, give me a blessing. Well, this is what he's doing. He's not actually giving them gifts. He's speaking a blessing for them. He's pronouncing a wish of happiness or a desire of happiness. And then when we bless the Lord, we're praising and glorifying him for the benefits that we've received. Let's bless the Lord for that. I was talking with someone this morning about someone else who says that they don't believe God is good. And we were just talking about how there are so many evidences of God's goodness. You stop to think about all the things that are better than they could be in your life. And that's just an easy way to find them, to find blessings. But physical life is a blessing. Having a mind that works normally and as it's intended, that's a blessing. Having a functioning body, that's a blessing. Having friends, having a church, having the Word of God, having all of these things, so many blessings go on and on and on. Bless his name. What benefits have you received? When you stop to think about it, and you try to find good things, you will find an abundance of God's goodness in your life. Bless his name. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Well, that's all fine and good, but I've got this problem. And that's the issue. We fixate on the negative. We fixate on what we wish were different. And we disregard. It's as though we've got this one pile of dirt, let's say a little mountain here, and we're ignoring the Mount Everest behind us. I'm not saying we don't go through hard times. I know what it's like to fixate on those things and to feel hopeless or desperate. It's a sad thing to be despairing as though there is no hope. But that is always a lie when we feel that way. Because God is God. There is no reason to despair. Instead, we ought to bless his name. Because no matter how bad we have it, we still have too many blessings from the Lord to count. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. This word show forth, these words, this phrase means to publish or to give news. Publish it, proclaim it, tell everybody about it. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Have you received that salvation? Then you have a blessing that is far greater than any trial you could ever go through. That one blessing is greater than any trial that could ever come into your life. That ought to make us publish this great salvation. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen. This word heathen is talking about people who don't believe in the one true God. Our world is full of heathen by that definition. Declare his glory among them. Tell other people about him. Tell people what they don't know about God. They don't believe in the one true God. Tell them about the glory of that one true God. Show forth his salvation. Declare his wonders among the people. Even people who aren't heathen, the saved, they believe in the one true God, they need to hear about God's wonders, deeds as well. A new song. You have a new song, so God showed something to you from the Word of God this morning. God did a blessing, God provided something for you today. I want to hear your new song. Others want to hear that too. That yes, we believe in God, we love God, that's why we want to hear it. The heathen, they don't know God. They probably don't want to hear that song, but they need it. They need to hear it. So to declare his glory among the people, all the people, the heathen, and his wonders among all people. Sing unto the Lord. This is what we ought to do. Why should we do it? Well, again, verse 2, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation. We have personal experience. If you've been saved, you've personally experienced that salvation. You are perfectly qualified to tell others about it. Well, but I don't know very much. If you're saved, you know enough. Tell others about your personal experience with the Savior. In verse 3, or verse 4, let's read on. It says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Comparative eminence. The psalmist is comparing God, the Lord, to other gods, and God comes out far, far ahead. Verse 6, honor and majesty. Verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. We compare him to anyone else, and he is eminent. He is far above. He is far beyond. This is why we need to tell others about him. Because whatever false god they're believing in, money, their job, back in these days, maybe today too, false idols, they're bowing down to idols. It doesn't matter what you're worshiping. If it's anything but God, you're worshiping a terrible substitute. God is so far above anything else, anyone else. We need to lift him up because other people believe in false gods. And objectively, he is excellent. We need to tell others and sing unto the Lord because of God's objective excellence. Look at verse 6. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. The Lord made the heavens, verse 5 says. There's just no comparison. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty. Not just a little bit more than the next guy. Not just a little bit more honor, a little bit more beauty. No, it is he is objectively beautiful, objectively strong, majestic. This is why we ought to sing him, because of who he is. not because of who we are or how we feel, but because of who he is. That's the first section that I see here, the first few verses here. Sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord. In verse 7, we see another section. It says, give unto the Lord. Second time in verse 7, give unto the Lord. Verse 8, give unto the Lord. So we're supposed to sing unto him, and then we're supposed to give unto him. What are we supposed to give unto him? Look at verse 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Glory. How do we give God glory? Well, what is glory? It's splendor. It's magnificence. It's praise. It's praise ascribed in adoration. It is honor. And we might say, well, how? Okay, I can honor him, but really, what does he not have that he needs from me? What can I possibly give him? Sometimes it's Christmas time and we're going to give a gift to somebody and we say, what do you give somebody who has everything? It feels like whatever I might be able to buy for them, they already have. What do you? And God is the ultimate. What can I possibly give God that he doesn't already have? How do I give him glory that he doesn't have? Do I have this little bit of glory that he's really craving? I can just meet that need? Well, how do we give him glory? We can praise him, but glory is splendor, magnificence. Well, whatever glory you and I have, we can give to him. In the Old Testament, and we won't take the time, but let's talk about Joseph and a message to send back to Jacob. And the message is talking about Joseph's glory. His riches, his wealth, his power, his authority. And over we find humans can have glory too. It's not the same kind as God's. But it is possible for men to have glory. Give unto the Lord glory. Well, what does that mean? Well, it just means let's give him what we have. Give unto the Lord strength. How can we give strength to God? He's omnipotent. What strength is he lacking? Well, he might not have my strength, meaning I haven't submitted it to him. I'm going to give God my strength. Whatever glory I have, whatever authority, whatever honor, whatever respect, whatever it is, strength might not be much, but I'm going to give it to God. Give unto the Lord what you have. Lift him up. Submit your resources to him. We can give him ours. In verse 9 it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I think that's one of the most wonderful phrases in all the Bible. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship means to adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration. And when we say, all my glory, whatever it might be, is God's. All my strength, whatever it might amount to, is God's. All my time is God's. All my love is God's. All my allegiance I'm going to give to God. Is it because he needs me? You know, he's mostly there. He mostly has control, but he needs me. No, of course not. But when I have that attitude and I give this to him, that's holiness. Everything I have belongs to God. Everything is consecrated to God. Everything I am is his. That's holiness. He has all of me. I'm not going to use it to serve me. I'm not going to use it to serve sin, to serve the flesh. I'm going to use it to serve him. That's holiness. Consecration. And this doesn't happen casually or accidentally. It happens very much on purpose. With intent. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It's a beautiful thing to worship God. It's a beautiful thing to be holy and consecrated unto him. It says, fear before him all the earth. And if we'll do this, there's a natural result that'll happen, that'll come from it. It says in verse 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Our holiness will be saying that. The Lord reigneth. What we give ourselves to is what we're lifting up most. This is the most important thing, and I'm giving myself to it. When we worship the Lord and we give Him all of us, we're lifting Him up saying, the Lord is King, He reigns, He's the most important one, you need to put your attention on Him. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Give unto the Lord. He is worthy. Let's look at verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. The first thing we should do is sing unto God. The second thing in this psalm is to give unto God. And thirdly, prepare for God. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, because He's coming. The creation is ready. The earth, the heavens, the animal kingdom, they're ready for God's return. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. The earth, the creation, groaneth and travaileth in pain, the Bible says. The world is ready. The earth, I should say, is ready for the Lord to return. We know the Lord is ready to return. It says, He cometh. He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. He's not unprepared. He's not scrambling to try to get ready on time. He's ready. We don't know when the fullness of time will come, when the appropriate time will come. But we know the Lord is ready. He's going to come. Are we ready? We need to prepare the way of the Lord. We can be ready. This is what salvation is all about, being ready to meet God. We don't know when our life will end. We need to be ready for eternity. If you've been saved, you need to show forth His salvation. You need to help to prepare the way for others to be ready. You know, we can have bad days. There are times when we're not ready for the Lord to come. Because we're indulging in sin, we're discouraged, we're frustrated, we're angry, we're carnal, we're faithless, we're disinterested and distracted. We're not ready for the Lord to come back. If He were to come back at that moment, we would be caught unprepared, we'd be ashamed. But we need to prepare the way in our heart for Him to come back and to work again, for Him to humble us, for Him to use us. We need to be ready. We need to help others be prepared for when the Lord returns. We can prepare the way in our own hearts, and we can help others prepare through our praise and our service to God. Sing unto God. Your singing and your praise is your choice. I don't feel like it. My heart's not in it. Well, God can change your heart. You just need to choose to sing unto Him. Choose to obey. Your service and declaring of God's goodness is your choice. God can work in others as a result. Well, you know, so-and-so just seems so hard-hearted. Maybe if you and I sang unto the Lord and gave unto the Lord like we should, they wouldn't be so hard-hearted. We don't know. Those are God's. That's God's business. That's God's jurisdiction. We need to sing unto the Lord. Declare God's glory among the heathen. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Declare His glory among all people. Who cares who's listening? Well, I don't want to sing too loud because so-and-so's not going to like it. Who cares? It doesn't matter what other people think. It matters what God thinks. Let's sing unto the Lord. Let's prepare the way of the Lord. Let's lift Him up. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. The Lord, the judge of all the earth, is coming. He's going to return. Will He find us watching? If we are watching in faith, we will be praising and singing, even in trials, even in hard times. We'll be praising and singing. Let's sing unto the Lord a new song. I'm thankful for those new songs that God gives me. And then, you know what, I notice within not that long of a time, that new song sort of becomes old, and I don't fail to be appreciative of it, but I need a new song, another one, a fresh one. And it drives me back to the Lord. I need to hear from Him again. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Is your own heart, has it become maybe grown over with weeds a little bit? The way of the Lord is being choked with the things of the world. What about the hearts of those around you? Let's prepare the way of the Lord. Let's make his path straight in our heart. Let's clear the obstacles. Let's get them out of the way so he can come in and do his work. Let's help others to do that so he can come in and do his work in them so that he can change them. Tonight, I'd like us to have a time of testimony, a time of praising the Lord, singing unto the Lord a new song. And we should do it on purpose. It can be hard. Well, you know, I'm not feeling well. I don't think that's not a condition on whether or not we should praise God. You know, I'm just kind of struggling with something. God is not struggling with anything. He's praiseworthy. Well, you know, let's be willing. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Let's lift him up. Let's help to prepare the way of the Lord. Maybe you need it. Maybe I need it. Maybe somebody else needs it. Maybe somebody tomorrow needs it. And we can be encouraged tonight. I'd like us to stand. I'm going to ask for the birds to come. We're going to sing number 59 to get us started. Hymn number 59. Let's all turn there and sing, and then we'll have a time of testimony.